Welcome to the Gun Show, where we talk about pistols, revolvers, rifles, shotguns, ammunition, concealed carry, personal defense training, and attacks on our beloved Second Amendment right to protect ourselves and our families. Folks, this morning, as always, we're going to open our phone lines to answer your firearms, ammunition, and personal defense questions. But in the meantime, Dee Wampler will join us to talk about Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren's focus on gun control, and it's not good. Then local attorney and firearms dealer Craig Heidman will talk about ATF and how they could change their policy and make it illegal to own your AR-15 pistol with stabilization brace. And he's also going to talk about how to protect yourself against something like that. Finally, I'm going to close out this morning's show by talking about the difference between range shooting and real-world gunfighting survival shooting skills. Before we get to this morning's topic, I want to let you know that, as always, we're very proud to have U.S. Law Shield as a sponsor of this show. They want to help us help you better protect yourself and your family. Remember, U.S. Law Shield, they're your legal defense for your self-defense. Because if you own a gun and you must defend yourself, you'll need U.S. Law Shield. When you join U.S. Law Shield, you'll have 24/7 emergency access to an attorney when you need it most. At U.S. Law Shield, you'll pay zero attorney's fees for criminal or civil proceedings for covered events, even for appeals. U.S. Law Shield has no caps or copays. Every U.S. Law Shield member gets the best defense program in the country for only $10.95 a month. That's $10.95 a month. Go to mattcanovi.com and click on the direct link to U.S. Law Shield and sign up today. Remember, your freedom and your family's financial future depend on it. We also want to take a moment to let you know that our next $40 CCW class, it's the lowest price in town, is Saturday, October 26th. And we have $50 practical handgun, rifle, active shooter, and home defense firearms courses available. Go to our website, mattcanovi.com, to sign up right now for any of our courses. And while you're there, check out our free training videos and free text training tips. If you want to contact us this morning, you can go to our radio show website, thegunshowradio.com. Or you can email me at matt@mattcanovi.com. That's matt@mattcanovi.com. And you can even call us or text us this morning right here in the studio at 417-447-5743. That's 447-5743. Right now, we're going to jump into our local crime stats brought to you by my very good friend, Dee Wampler and Joe Passanisi, as well as Terry and Brenda at A Advance Bail Bonds.
Good morning, Matt. Our local crime stats are running from September 28th through Friday, October 4th. So far this week, we've had 98 calls for assaults.
Wow.
68 calls for burglaries and 25 calls for shots fired. So let's go ahead and break down those shots fired. On Saturday, we had six. One at the 600 block of East Bear Boulevard. Another at the 5500 block of South Ridge Top Avenue. Another at the intersection of West Poplar Street and North Broadway Avenue. Another at the intersection of West Central Street and North Broadway Avenue. One at the 1300 block of North Forest Avenue. And the sixth one of Saturday at the intersection of Northwest Avenue and West Lynn Street. On Sunday, we had one. It was at the 1400 block of West Norton Road. On Monday, we had six. One at the intersection of South Blackman Road and East Cherokee Street. Another at the intersection of West Norton Road and North Park Avenue. Another at the South Blackman Road and East Cherokee intersection. One at the 900 block of West Mount Vernon Street. One at the 2000 block of West Water Street. And the sixth one of Monday was at the 800 block of South Luster Avenue. On Tuesday, we had two, one at the intersection of North Franklin Avenue and West Phelps Street, and another at the 900 block of West Elm Street. On Wednesday, we had two, one at the 200 block of West Olive Street, and another at the 2200 block of North Travis Avenue. On Thursday, we had five, one at the 3900 block of South Mentor Avenue, another at the 3200 block of East Battlefield Road, another at the 2100 block of North Lexington Avenue, the fourth one at the 1500 block of South Jefferson Avenue, and the fifth one of Thursday at the 3500 block of South Dollison Avenue. And on Friday, we had three, one at the intersection of North Hilton Avenue and West College Street, another at the intersection of North Hutchinson Avenue and West Nichols Street, and the third one of Friday at the 3100 block of West Brower Street. So once again, we've had 98 calls for assaults, 68 calls for burglaries, and 25 calls for shots fired.
Folks, there's a pattern that I've noticed while putting together all these crime stats, and that is the calls for assaults, burglaries, and shots fired rise, and then all of a sudden local law enforcement or federal law enforcement will do a big drug seizure, drug arrest, and then everything drops down, and then it starts pyramiding itself back up again. So all of these are drug-related crimes. Why are they so prevalent in this area? Because of the porous southern borders and what Obama did to destroy this country, and that's just a fact. Matter of fact, Sarah, wasn't there a call for shot fired near MSU?
Yeah, it was the very first one that I reported on. It was a Saturday, and it was at the 600 block of East Bear Boulevard. That's right as you go into MSU.
Well, indeed, wasn't there one nearby near your residence?
Yeah, absolutely. There's some downtown, right in the downtown area, and they're morphing or gradually going out to Southeast Springfield. There was one or two just a block up from my law office there near Battlefield and 65. So it's scary.
And if folks, so don't think if you live south of, you know, south of Sunshine, that on the south side of Springfield, that you're safe. This stuff is going to continue. Drugs will spill over. They'll spill over into every aspect of your community, and they are a cancer, and it really takes a concerted effort by the community and law enforcement to really fight back against it. All right, that's a topic for another show, but I do want to go ahead and take a moment to thank Craig Heidemann for calling in. He's going to jump in first. He's got a great little topic, and that is for those of us who have bought the and really like the AR-15 9mm or 5.56 whatever pistols, and you throw that stabilization brace on. ATF is saying that's a good thing. You can do that, and that's legal, and a lot of guys are buying those, and I've got one. I like it. However, there are some negatives, and there are some positives if you end up going with the paperwork, the way I understand it, and actually get yourself licensed and taxed for the SP or the short-barreled rifle. And Craig's going to talk more about that. Thanks so much, Craig.
Good morning, Matt Canovi. How are you?
Very good, my friend. Thank you.
Why do you think people like these AR pistols? What's the appeal, Matt?
I tell you what, short, compact. I like the 9mm because I got 9mm handgun. That's what I carry. And I reload 9mm, so just more economical for me because it's cheaper. And really short, compact, if I need to use it in the house for personal defense or even at the range. Just short, compact. That's the big plus I like about
okay.
it.
Okay. Here's my next question for you, Matt. You teach rifle classes, don't you?
Yes, sir.
And how many of your rifle students do you teach to shoot effectively by not putting the stock of the rifle against their shoulder? Any of them?
Nope.
So in order to shoot accurately with a rifle, which an AR pistol, call it whatever you want, it's generally a rifle with a short barrel, we have to press them to our shoulder in order to fire accurately. So if you're going to use that in a defensive situation, as your lawyer, if I have to defend you and you hit an innocent bystander and you're not touching your rifle to your shoulder, I have, I think, a good explanation for that. You see where I'm coming from, Matt?
Yes, sir, I do.
All right. So if we're going to use these defensively, we're going to have to shoot them like we get trained to shoot, which is to touch them to our shoulder. Now, that's kind of a problem. The ATF Technology Division is not an interpretive agency of the ATF. It's not a division of the Department of Justice. It's not a rule-making authority. They are the folks that send out letters to, we talked about this last week or the week before when we were talking about the bump fire stocks. They send out letters to manufacturers expressing their personal opinion on whether or not it constitutes an item that might be permissible for sale or prohibited from sale under the National Firearms Act. So these guys in the technology branch have said that these pistol stabilizing braces, if you keep the Velcro on it And if when you design it, you don't intend it to be fired from the shoulder, then it qualifies as an assistive device, and it doesn't convert a pistol into a National Firearms Act regulated short barrel rifle. But their opinion matters not very much. Now, SIG and the other manufacturers have made a fortune off of this letter, and they've led people to believe that these are legal for all intents and purposes. But let me take everybody back to Las Vegas, to the MGM Grand. They just settled a bunch of claims this past week with a bunch of people that got shot by that madman for $800 million. And he was using a bump fire stock. And, Matt, remind our listeners about what happened with the bump fire stocks. Are they legal anymore?
Not anymore.
Now, the technology branch sent out the same doggone letter that they sent out on the stabilizing braces and said, these aren't machine guns. But their opinion didn't matter very much when the ATF itself proposed rulemaking, which said it is a machine gun, and if you have one, you got to give it away. You can't ever use it again. You got to destroy it. You got to turn it in. What do you think happens when the next madman goes to the top of a tall building with his SIG pistol stabilizing brace and his 9mm carbine, and he unloads on a bunch of innocent victims below? Do you think the ATF has the ability to do the exact same thing, Matt?
Without a doubt.
So they're going to take these things when the next jackleg does something stupid with it, and they're going to regulate them and say, this makes it a short barrel rifle, and if you have one, you've got to pay your $200 tax, and you've got to register it, or they're going to make you destroy it. So why go to that risk of relying on the technology branch's letter, which doesn't have the force and effect of law, which doesn't bind the Department of Justice, which was never intended to give everybody a free pass for possessing unlicensed short barrel rifles? And why not get you a short barrel rifle? You know, if you go to buy one of these braces to build a pistol, they're running about $120, $30, $40, and a tax stamp costs you $200. And you'll have yourself a short barrel rifle that can be shot like God intended it, from the shoulder.
Craig, let me go ahead. We've got to step into a break, but I want you to stew on this and answer this question when we come back. Could ATF do exactly what they did with the bump fire and not say, hey, you've got to get your licensing, but just say this is automatically illegal if you got it right now and you got to destroy it, something to that effect, just like they did with the bump fires? Hold on to that thought. We're going to step into a break, pick it up on the other side. I'm Matt Canovi. This is your Gun Show on 104.1 KSGF, Springfield's News Talk FM. Folks, welcome back. I've got Craig Heidemann on the line. Before I throw it over to him, I want to go ahead and let you know that Craig's segment is brought to you by my very good friend, former firearm student, great Christian business owner, Don Carricker at IWantAGreatHomeLoan.com. Now, Don and his staff have a 5-star approval rating. Check this review out. Through his team's experience and organization, this has been a much more pleasant experience than ones I've had in the past. Don, thank you and your team. Highly recommended. 3 exclamation points. If you're looking for a great home loan, contact Don Carricker at IWantAGreatHomeLoan.com, because you know darn good and well you do. Craig, all right, can ATF, could they just do with the stabilization braces, could they just do the same thing they did with the bump fires and say, if you got them, it's illegal?
Well, you know, I think that's a question that answers itself. The ATF is going to do whatever it doggone well pleases, but more particularly, it certainly will do whatever its master, the president, tells it to do. And that's exactly what happened in the case of the bump fire stocks. The president decided, I am going to outlaw them. Now, you and I both agree the president doesn't have the ability to regulate the possession of firearms in interstate commerce. That's a duty that lies with Congress. And Congress has decided what the firearms laws are in the United States. We elect Congress. We don't elect the president. But that didn't stop our president, who claims to be pro-gun, from deciding to say we're going to take away a whole class of property that was lawfully purchased by United States citizens. And he told the ATF to, quote, air quotes, reconsider whether or not this was a machine gun. And they said, oh, Yeah, you bet. It's a machine gun. It's now regulated, and you got to either destroy it or give it to the ATF. You cannot possess it. They didn't even give you an option to register it as a machine gun if you wanted to pay the $200 for your bump fire stock. They just said you got to destroy it or turn it in. They could do the exact same thing with these pistol stabilizing braces. So why invest in one that you're going to have to give away or turn in a short amount of time if that's the way things go? Go ahead and invest the money and get a short barrel rifle, I suppose. Or, now let's think about this, Matt, or I suppose you could take your pistol and register it right now as a short barrel rifle, and then you could keep your pistol stabilizing brace and your fancy Velcro that you have to keep attached to it forever. But I want to ask you a question, Matt, because you know this better than I do. How many tactical entry teams are you aware of that purchase and train with pistol stabilizing braces on their entry guns?
None that I'm aware of.
Why is that? Because it is not a superior alternative to a shoulder stock. Why are people so fascinated with choosing an inferior device for such serious business as personal protection? I mean, I get it that they want to be economical and maybe save some money, and they think that the National Firearms Act is scary and paying a $200 tax is unnecessary. That tax has been the same since 1934. It's equivalent to about $4,000 today. So in order to do a short barrel rifle in 34, it was like paying $3,400 to $4,000. It's $200, folks. Don't play pretend SBR. Get yourself an SBR if you think you need one.
Well, and Craig, why don't you take a moment, let our listeners know it's a simple but complicated process.
Just
fill out the paperwork.
Yeah, it's a two-page form, front and back. It's form four, or to buy one, or form one to manufacture one. You attach a $200 check to it, or if you want to get frequent flyer miles, you attach your credit card number to it. You send it in with a set of fingerprints and a photograph. And in about 7 months' time, they say go for it and build it, or go for it and buy one, and then it's yours. Now, the only downside is you can't take a short barrel rifle out of state without filing a Form 50 to let them know where you're taking it. But other than that, you're perfectly legal. And anybody that can buy a pistol can own and possess a short barrel rifle, a short barrel shotgun, a machine gun, any of that.
And once you've gone through the process and you've paid your tax stamp, now the president can't come back and say, ATF, you need to review and make sure that this really is what you said it was before, and then they'll change their mind. You're protected from that, correct?
Absolutely. Only Congress can do that. Only Congress can do that. And the president can't change the National Firearms Act, no matter how much he tries. Congress certainly could, but there's absolutely no sign that anybody is considering doing anything to the National Firearms Act, which has remained unchanged since the 80s, if memory serves me right.
Well, Craig, you've convinced me, and I'm going to start the process through you to get that done. I walk it like I talk it. I'm recommending to all my listeners. Look, Craig's got the right. He's telling you legally how to protect yourself from the federal government doing what they've already done for those of us who had stabilization braces. And to protect yourself, it's not that much. Fill out the paperwork. And Craig, I've got a lot of guys that tell me, look, I don't want to get on a government list and I want to stay under radar. Folks, wake up and smell the coffee. You're on somebody's list. I guarantee it.
This is for our listeners. This was a question I asked my ATF investigator at my last inspection. I said, everybody says to me, I don't want to buy a suppressor because you're going to come to my house and you're going to look at it. I said, in the history of suppressors, in the history of inspections, can you ever think of an industry operations inspector going to somebody's house to see if they still had their suppressor? And he said, no, that has never happened. Now, that's straight from a Springfield industry operations inspector. It doesn't happen, folks. So get over the misinformation given out by the keyboard warriors sitting around in their underpants pounding out false information into the internet. It doesn't happen.
Amen. All right, Craig, how can people get a hold of you if they want to go ahead and go through the process and protect themselves?
Yeah, if you want more information about short-barrel rifles or making a short-barrel rifle, give me a call at 417-224-4335 or email me at craig@armsconcierge.com, and we'll take good care of you. I think they're fantastic. And honestly, if you're shooting a rifle, your accuracy goes up 100% if you shoot it correctly from the shoulder.
Amen, brother. Thanks so much. We appreciate you calling in. We're going to step into a break. Pick it up on the other side with D. Wampler's segment, so I encourage you to stick around. I'm Matt Canovey. This is Your Gun Show on 104.1 KSGF, Springfield's News Talk FM. Folks, welcome back. I've got D. Wampler in the studio. D.'s going to talk about something that we all need to really think about, and that's Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren's focus on gun control, because they're the two top front runners. And D's segment is always brought to you by my very good friend, former firearm student, great Christian business owner, Scott Estes, and his knowledgeable staff at Wildcat Tool Rental. Go to wildcattoolrental.com for all your tool rental needs. D, it looks like now that the, who's the communist? I forget his name now.
Well, Bernie Sanders, yeah, and Cory Booker. There's so many.
Well, not a Bernie had his heart attack, and that's come out. It was a heart attack, and he's already 78 years old. I think he is just not going to be able to put forth an active enough campaign. Plus, people are always going to be worried about that. So I think the focus for the Democratic Party has shifted to Biden or Warren. And now Biden, he may not survive this, what's coming from over in Europe, and also, his son's business dealings in China. That may come back to go ahead and bite him in a rump.
Oh, yeah. Well, Bernie is weakened now. We all feel sorry for him. We hope the best for his health. He's not going to be able to campaign another 13 months and then survive 4 years as being president, I don't think. And a lot of those supporters are going to go over to Pocahontas. I mean, that it's absolutely – and Joe Biden – if anyone believes that he and his son didn't discuss the fact that the son was getting $50,000 a month for being on a board over in the Ukraine and had gotten a $1.5 billion loan from China for one of his corporations that he was involved in, no one's going to believe that. And I'm afraid that Biden is weakened, whether you kind of like that or not. And in several of the states now, Senator Elizabeth Warren has taken the lead. Cory Booker, he is, I don't know what he's thinking. He wants to give $300 per child, $300 per child to poor families in America to help them escape poverty. Now, those of us that are old enough to remember LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson, and his war on poverty and the billions of dollars that was wasted in order to have a war on poverty. Now, here we are back around again. This is Cory Booker's theory, and we don't know how much that's going to cost. It's going to cost multi-billions, but he won't say how much it's going to cost. So let's say Cory Booker is out. Let's say Bernie is out. A lot of the people are going to settle on what they think is the best winner, so they're going to go to Elizabeth Warren. Now, the bottom line for this program, Matt, Elizabeth Warren wants to tax all ammunition at 500% increase, a 500% increase. She wants to increase the tax on all firearms at 300%. She wants to raise the age to 21 for all to possess a firearm. And you got to keep in mind, these kids that are out here shooting, especially the gangs in Chicago and New York, do you think this law is going to affect them? They're getting the guns on the black market. Everybody's got a gun. There's about as many guns in America as there are people.
Well, D, let's face it. Heroin, methamphetamine, marijuana, it's illegal, yet it's all over the place.
You don't think criminals are concerned about the law? They're going to go ahead and do what they want to do. And so she wants to spend a couple hundred million dollars to study the cause of gun violence. How about that one? A couple of hundred million dollars to do that. And then she's in favor of lawsuits against gun manufacturers. So she wants to do away with the Gun Protection Act that was passed 15 or 20 years ago that protects the gun manufacturers. So she wants to allow lawsuits against the gun manufacturers and dealers. So if there's a crime committed anywhere, the enterprising plaintiff's lawyer can file a lawsuit, and it's going to knock them all out of business.
So what she's doing is she's destroying and outlawing guns by taxation and civil liability.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the bottom line, is they're not going to be any gun manufacturers or gun dealers anymore, because they wouldn't be able to afford to get insurance. Anybody that gets shot, let's say a crime of passion somewhere that occurs out here, out in southeast Springfield, well, some lawyer is going to sue. He's going to go back and say, where did this gun come from? Who made it? And who sold it? And what was it designed to do? Well, it was designed to shoot. And lawsuits are going to be filed. And you can only defend so many lawsuits before you say, I'm out of business.
Well, and it's gun confiscation by taxation and civil liability. That's it. She's trying to find a backdoor way to take away all our guns by just closing down the factories, closing down the ammunition companies, and preventing people from affording to buy what the Second Amendment says they can afford they can have.
Yeah, what's really scary is we've got 13 months now we're going to have to suffer with Congress, who now thinks they're a law enforcement agency, and Congress is going to investigate Trump, and if they can't find one thing, they're going to try to find something else. They just skip from one thing to the other. And if Kamala Harris gets in, or Cory Booker, or Elizabeth Warren, or Biden, it doesn't make any difference. These candidates that were the also-rans, they are going to be in the cabinet. Okay, they're going to be high government officials exerting power and authority on American citizens. They're going to be secretary of this agency and that agency. They're going to have a lot of power, because whoever gets the nomination on the Democrat side are going to use and bring in some of these people that are running for office. And the listeners to this program need to make sure they understand the gun control platforms of all of these candidates, okay, because there are sweeping gun control measures that's going to inalterably change how we look at the Second Amendment and what our rights are going to be in the future. Now, the question is any of that going to make an actual difference? Is it actually going to reduce violence? I don't think so, but that's for the voters to decide. So we've got 9 debates coming up. We've got to put up with that. We've got all these investigations. Every day there's a new scandal du jour that they want to investigate. And this is coming up now for the next 13 months, if you can stand it. But stay tuned on what they say about gun control. If they start talking about what their theory is on gun control in any of these upcoming debates, well, that's what we need to be aware of. You know, Matt, I've got a book on my bedside right now. It's called Why Meadow Died. It's a really good book. I'm halfway through it now. Andrew Pollack, his daughter was killed at the Marjorie Stoneman High School in Parkland, Florida. And he gives out about 45 reasons why 17 kids were killed, including his daughter. Her name was Meadow. And it's just a fabulous book about neglect of duty by the officers that were involved there. And this kid had been a crazy kid. The police had been called 45 times to his home and all those things. All these things were ignored. This kid went in and shot up the teachers and everything. Why Meadow Died. But it's a question of what could we have done otherwise. And basically it was see something, say something. Nobody really wanted to speak up. And the school teachers just ignored all of the threats. But none of these gun laws that we're talking about would have had an effect on the Parkland shooting. It's just the only possible thing would be the red flag law. And, you know, the kid would have gotten a gun somewhere else. Well, actually, he got a gun lawfully. So if he didn't get one lawfully, he'd get one illegally.
See, the way I understand it, because the school had not reported all his crazy activity, then he was not, if they would have, in the state of Florida, he would not have been able to purchase the gun because he wouldn't have passed the background check.
Yeah, he was threatening everybody. He was threatening teachers and threatening other kids and posting things and fantasizing killing of other students and animals and death threats and erratic behavior. And, you know, nobody wanted to hurt anybody's feeling, so nobody did anything
about it. Well, this guy should have not been allowed to go to school and be around other people that he could have ended up injuring, and that's what he ended up doing. So it was the failure of the system, and this is a great topic for maybe next week's show when you get a chance to finish the book so we can talk a little bit more about it. I do need to step into a break. I want to go ahead and thank our listeners for their time joining us today. Stick around through the break. I'm going to finish up with the last segment of the show. I'm Matt Canovey. This is your gun show on 104.1 KSGF, Springfield's News Talk FM. Folks, welcome back. We're down to about the last 10 minutes of the show. And I want to take a moment to send a shout out to Fred over at Fred's Vacuums on Kearney in North Springfield. Great service, great price. Folks, don't buy a new vacuum when yours breaks. Take it over to Fred. Let him repair it. I can't tell you enough. Great service. I brought my vacuum in. I paid a lot of money for it. I'm thinking, heck, this thing, you know, I'll see what it costs to repair it. That guy did a great job. I mean, just a great guy, local business owner. Again, don't go ahead and buy a new vacuum. Take it over to Fred's Vacuum on Kearney and North Springfield. Do a great job, great service. Let them know you heard about it here on The Gun Show. Also, my last segment here is brought to you by U.S. Law Shield. Remember, they're your legal defense for your self-defense. And we're going to touch base on what I've talked about in the past, and that is there's a big difference between range shooting and gunfighting. Now, at Canovey & Associates, we teach research-based effective arm techniques for life-threatening situations. In other words, we teach gunfighting. Now, there's a lot of people out there, a lot of trainers out there, and they teach what's been taught, and they haven't done the research on how gunfights actually occur. And range shooting and gunfighting are totally different. Think of it like this. If you want to win a 40-yard dash, you can't train for a marathon and think you're going to win a 40-yard dash. Even though you're using the same body mechanics, they're totally different. A marathon is endurance, long-term, set a pace, kick at the end. 40-yard dash is explosive, everything you got right now. Okay? So there is a difference. Now, range shooting, again, is set up to push accuracy over speed. Now, let that sink in for just a moment. Accuracy over speed. Even competitive shooting is focused on accuracy over speed. For example, IDPA. If you hit the kill circle, you end up getting no points subtracted from your score. If you shoot faster and come a little bit outside the circle, you get penalized a point. Okay, actually, again, or you can penalize half a second on your time. So it ends up focusing the efforts of the shooter on accuracy. Now, that being said, I've even heard competitive shooters say, and I used to do this myself, you know, years ago when I first got into competitive shooting, I used to tell people, look, I may not be as fast as the other guy, but I'm accurate. Now, that's a placebo. It makes you feel good, but it's not going to help you win a gunfight. Let me explain that to you, okay? Let's say I'm in a gunfight and I draw a gun, and I'm really pushing my accuracy, and let's say it takes me 2.5 seconds to get the gun out on target, and I fire a perfect headshot right in what the credit card, okay, right in the tee box, okay, you know, right at the base of their nose, go stop the threat 100% of the time. All right, it takes me 2.5 seconds to do that. However, the bad guy I'm facing in a gunfight, he ends up shooting me in the left cheekbone in 2 seconds. So half a second before I pull the trigger. Now, he was not as accurate as I, but who just won the gunfight? Him. So for those of you who say, well, I'm not fast, but I'm accurate, then you're dead. Okay, let go of that. I had to. You got to let go of that if you want to win a gunfight. Okay? Now, I'm not saying you don't have to be accurate, but there's acceptable accuracy. Any headshot, any place in the head is going to stop the threat. 5-year study by Police Marksman Magazine from 1985-1990 ended up proving that on real police shootings. So speed needs to be pushed more than accuracy. Speed first, accuracy second. I gave you the example so you can understand it. Now, how do you accomplish speed and accuracy? You've got to have the right grip and the right stance, and that's got to be taught. A lot of people grab the gun, they've got the totally wrong grip, so they can't control it to get the gun out on target fast. Now, remember, according to the FBI and its 5-year study by Police Marksman Magazine, the average police gunfight occurs 40% under 5 feet, 70% under 10 feet, 91% under 20 feet. So if you're at the range shooting from 25 yards away at a pie plate, buddy, you ain't training for a gunfight. You're training for range shooting, and it's not going to help you win a gunfight that's going to occur under 2 seconds from 4 feet away. You need to train on how to get the gun out on target fast and get solid hits. Statistics show whoever hits meat first wins. So you got to get a solid hit, whether it's to the body or to the head. That's the difference between range shooting and gunfight. Now, with the right grip, the right stance, you can push the gun out in front of your face and line up the sights using your body. It's called body alignment because you're never going to be able to see the sights. Now, this is something I get attacked a lot. People say, well, Matt, you're teaching people not to aim the gun. That's a lie. I'm teaching people how to aim the gun with their body. With the right grip and the right stance, you can push the gun out directly in front of your face, lock your wrists and elbows, and your sights will be almost perfectly lined up. And this will help you win a gunfight because in a gunfight, guess what's going to happen? Not only is it going to be up close and fast, 40 to 50% are going to be under low light or dark time hours, so it's going to be hard to see your sights anyway. And even if you can see your sights, are there? It's illuminated so you can see the sights because there's enough light. You're going to be so scared, you're going to have tunnel vision. And tunnel vision forces you to focus on the threat, not your sights. And I guarantee that's going to happen because I was in a situation, in a police situation, where I thought I was going to have to shoot this guy. And it happened to me. I had tunnel vision. And I was a trainer. I knew not to do this. And I was telling myself in the back of my mind, don't do this. But I couldn't stop it because it is a physiological response. Okay? It's a physiological response. It happens inside your body. You can't stop it. So you've got to be able to have the right grip, the right stance that we teach at Kenovian Associates that's going to help you line up these sights with your body because you're not going to be able to do it with your eyes because it's either too fast, too dark, or you're going to have tunnel vision. So if you're training, line up your sights every time you pull the trigger, folks, it ain't going to work in a gunfight. The proof of that is, according to the FBI, from 1996 to 2016, police officers, and I'm a former police officer and a firearms instructor, and I know lots of other law enforcement firearms instructors, and according to the FBI, police officers fail to hit the target, the latest stat, 76.8% of the time. So almost 8 out of 10 shots, they miss. And 50% of the time, those shots are under 5 feet. And police officers are trained to line up your sights or see your front sight. Now, why does that not work? It's because those techniques require muscle memory. And it takes thousands, I'll say that again, thousands of rounds to develop this muscle memory. Most police departments don't have the money to pay for that. The average guy and gal If they're taught those techniques by an instructor, they do not have the money to follow up with the thousands and thousands of repetitions, thousands and thousands of rounds they have to shoot, and the commitment to develop muscle memory. By using body alignment, if you've got the right grip, the right stance, and you push the gun right out in front of your face, you're going to have the right sight alignment, which is going to enable you to get acceptable, accurate hits. And that's what it's going to take to win a gunfight. Now, the Israelis have been doing this for years and years and years. They still do it, and guess what? They do a pretty good job. They do a pretty good job. As a matter of fact, as part of my training, I do a demonstration for my students where I line my body up on a target using the right grip, the right stance. I shut my eyes. I even have another student hold a hat over my face so everybody knows I'm not peeking. And I shoot at the target from 10 feet away, and I hit every shot. That way they feel confident with the right body alignment to line up the sights. It's incredibly effective. That's the difference between range shooting and gunfighting. Folks, go to my website, mattkenobi.com. Sign up right now. We've got classes that start at $50. We'll teach you how to get the right body alignment on target to line up your sights. If after the course you don't feel confident in what I've taught you, I'll give you your money back. What other instructor is going to do that? So go to our website, mattkenobi.com. Sign up right now. Your future and your family's safety depend on it. I need to take a moment now to thank Sarah, our producer. I need to thank D. Wampler, Craig Heidman. I also need to thank you, our listeners and our callers. Remember, I'm Matt Kenobi, and this is your gun show, because we really are here to help you stay safe out there, so stay tuned.